محمد و آل محمد به آواز بلند صلوات. خوشنود امام زمان به آواز بلند صلوات. It's just beginning of the day, ladies. You can give me louder salawat than this. We've just had a breakfast. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بفضل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على حبيب قلوبنا شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا مولانا الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته طيبين طاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المنتخبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس ويطهرهم تطهيرا. سيما بقية الله في الأرضين عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وفرجنا به وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته وزواره في الدنيا وارزقنا شفاعته يوم الورود ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى لقائك يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قول. وأما بعد، my dear sisters, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله. I'd like to begin my talk this morning again by taking the opportunity to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us, and I'm sure all of you will agree with me, this opportunity to get together here, not in any land, but the land of knowledge, the land which is most importantly blessed by the existence and the presence of Hazrat Ma'suma alayha salam, who is known as Karima Ahlul Bayt, which means the owner of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. I begin my talk by reminding ourselves the advice that we were given yesterday when we went to meet Khanum Humayun. If you all remember that Khanum Humayun gave us two advice in concern to women. And she says that, number one, know that Islam has given a woman special values. Islam has very high respect for woman. So it is up to a woman to take this value, to value what she has given, what she has been given, to respect what she has been given, and to keep up with it. Islam has already done that. Allah has already done that. But it is up to you as a woman to keep up with it. And the second advice she gave us is that know that a woman in the society can do, has the ability to perform, to do very valuable act in the society. The example that she used is Banu Amini Isfahani, who is her teacher. She said it was Banu Amini who started, who brought the idea of the female Hausa. That today even Jamiatu Zahra, the place where we are all in, is as a result of her hard work. So she says that a woman is not, if I want to connect her advice with our topic today, is that a woman is not just a sexual object, as the society puts it, okay, or as a society makes a woman to be, but a woman has a lot of values and can give a lot to the society. I connect that with my topic, which is the philosophy of hijab. Last time I brought the verse of the Holy Quran. If anybody remembers, what verse is this? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Holy Prophet, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن. And the verse continues. Anybody remembers what chapter this is? Surah Ahzab, Ahsan. Please recite one salawat for her success. So then I spoke in details about faith, and I pointed out the difference that Shaheed Mutahhari talks about difference between faith and knowledge, and he gives us the example of Shaitan, that he had all the knowledge, but because he did not use that knowledge to make it into faith, as a result he became as a non-believer. Okay, Allah at the end says, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Then what I need to talk about today is this point here. If you look at just the outer form of this verse, you will find that there is no word hijab here. And I know a lot of professors, especially in Canada, they would say that, well, there is no hijab in the Quran. And they use this same verse of the Quran to prove that there is no hijab in Quran. As a result, a lot of our young people remove hijab after they take that course. And yes, if you just look outside, there is no word hijab. But the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using is jalabib. Okay? So the real word that Allah is using as a meaning of hijab that we understand is jilbab. And jalabib is the plural of it. I just thought that this is a very important point. Now you might ask, then how come we are calling it hijab? As time went by, Arabs who were the speakers of this language, somehow from one way to another, they changed the word jilbab to hijab. And that is the word that has reached to us today. Okay? So if anybody tells you there is no hijab in this verse, you say, well, this here, it means hijab, what we understand today. Okay, it's just that when we look in English language, one word, if you go to Britain, it would be called something else, but the same thing when you come to Canada, it will be called something else. A very simple example is biscuit. In British language, they call it biscuit. In Canadian language, in Canadian English, it's called cookies, right? Or candy, in Canadian language it's called candy, in British English it's called pee-pee, right? Whereas pee-pee in Canadian English has a totally different meaning, right? So one word, when you go to one place, it would be called something else. When you go to another country, it would be called something else. The same thing goes with hijab. Living in the Western society, and I'm finding this extremely important to share with everyone. I find that as the hadith of our Imam that says that in order to be successful, you need to have deep understanding of religion. So when I went back from Qom, I would tell whoever asked me, why are you covering? I would say, well, you know, we believe that if you have a diamond, you need to cover it. You need to protect it. Right? And non-Muslims would tell me that, no, if you have diamond, you need to display it so everybody would see it. Right? This is the mentality that they have. And I'm sure some of you, last time when I brought the point that if you have diamond, you need to protect it and you need to cover it and you need to take care of it. I'm sure some of you might have thought in your mind that, no, if you have diamond, you need to display it for everybody to see it. So I thought to myself, I said, no, I need to have deeper explanation. I need to have deeper understanding of why Allah brought hijab, why Allah brought the command of hijab on us. And that's when I went back to this same verse. And when I look at it, that it says that the reason why Allah told us to protect ourselves so that we would not be harassed in the society. So I went and I started searching that how would this harassment fit in into today's society, the society that we are living in. And it was to my surprise, the definitions that I found, how deep they are, according to the Western definition, how deep the word harassment goes and how much it fits into our Islamic ideas. According to the School of Social Works, according to the School of Nursing, these are the people that deal with harassed women all the time. Like direct, they have direct contact with abused women all the time, right? So they have come up with the definition of harassment in the society. So the School of Social Work, the School of Nursing, and the School of Psychologists. And they define harassment as having two different meanings. They say one is an outer form of harassment, which we understand to be as a sexual harassment. Whenever you hear that a woman is sexually harassed, we think that she's raped. But the School of Social Work and Nursing and Psychology said that is the outer form of sexual harassment. That is the extreme form of sexual harassment. That even they themselves said that what we hear on the television or in the newspapers is only 1% of it. That means 99% of women who are sexually harassed in the society, they do not even report it. And there are different reasons, which I will talk about it next week, inshallah. They also said that the other form of sexual harassment is the verbal one. And this is the one that women find it almost impossible to prove. They find it's impossible to even talk about it. They are so confused when it happens because it happens with people whom they are very close, the people whom they work very close in the society, a co-worker, a friend, a male friend. Okay, I want you to pay attention. Those of you who are dozing off, please wake up. This is a very important point and we are not going to repeat. It is concerning our life day to day, especially in the Western society. And the reason why I'm saying Western society is because Western culture has influenced the whole world. You could be living in Iran, yet you could have Western culture influencing you. Okay? So these things are extremely important. I want you to write down. I want you to ponder upon it. I want you to ask me questions, as whatever question that comes in your mind, and we discuss about it together. Number one, they define sexual harassment as unwelcome remarks, jokes, taunts about a person's body, clothing, or sex. Watch the word unwelcome. Unwelcome. I asked, why unwelcome? And I was answered that if you look at the other side of the coin, sometimes or most of the time, we women welcome these comments from men. When a male gender comments something and you show that you smile at them, they take it that you're welcoming the comments. And the comments do not just stop there. It goes on and on and on. Today it could be something very little, tomorrow it goes on to something else. So it is how you, as a female gender, carry yourself out there. As soon as you are in front of a male gender, your body language, your eyesight, and I'm going to talk about that, okay? Everything counts. So hijab is not just a piece of cloth that we put around us. Many times we find sisters in hijab doing things that is totally unaccepted as far as hijab is concerned. So please underline the word unwelcome. Number two, insulting gestures and practical jokes or comments that causes awkwardness or embarrassment. Practical jokes. We like to joke all the time, right? We think it's funny. If somebody doesn't joke, we think they can't fit into our group. That is the Western culture. You have to be able to joke. You have to fit in. We have this idea or mentality of fitting in the society, in a particular group. So if a person doesn't crack the kind of jokes that we like, we think that they cannot fit into our group. Okay? But according to the School of Social Work, they said that these practical jokes when they happen between opposite genders, it can be defined as sexual harassment. Okay? And it goes to as deep as it says that if a male worker, like let's say we are in the working environment, and a male worker comments a female worker that your outfit today looks good on you. But the comment comes in a way that it makes a female worker feel awkward or feel uncomfortable. That is defined as sexual harassment. You see how deep it is? Do you see why Islam tells us to keep a gap completely between male gender and female gender? Okay? As simple as that, we all like comments. I don't think anybody in this world will say that I don't like to be complimented. Especially we female. It is psychologically proven that we female, we want to be complimented all the time. And where we are in the presence of men, we want to be noticed. Okay? We have a very good example from Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha. When a blind person comes to visit our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his house, we see in the history that Bibi Fatima alayhi salam runs, and the hadith says that she runs like lightning. She grabs her chadar and she covers herself. And this is a blind man coming to visit them. Blind, that means no vision, right? And Prophet tells her, Fatima, my daughter, this man is blind. He doesn't see you. But Bibi Fatima says, yes, father, he doesn't see me, but I can see him. And today psychologists prove that when a woman is kept or she comes out in front of a male gender, she wants to be noticed. So she will do anything to make this male gender notice her. Anything. You change, you would notice that either the body movements will change or the tone of voice will change. You know, sometimes we call people's house and we have these answering machines nowadays, right? And sometimes you find that a woman has left the message that we are not available to answer your call. Please call us back or leave us a message and your telephone number. We'll call you back. And the tone of voice that this woman has used in recording this, you can tell that it is not her normal voice. Sometimes I feel like, oh my God, if I can feel this way, can you imagine when a man hears this? So it is that tone of voice, as soon as you're kept in front of a male gender, you know, the body movements, everything changes. And try to notice yourself. You know, it could be as simple as taking a picture. When you have a female taking a picture of you, how are you going to pose? And when you have a man taking your picture, how are you going to pose? All these things are so deep, and that is why Islam has taught us from the beginning that keep a gap. To give a woman respect, that respect is already given to us. It is only up to us to take it, to protect it, and to apply it in our own lives. Number three, they said that looking maliciously or lustfully, maliciously, and maliciously meaning that desire to harm or desire to tease, looks have a way of communicating, my dear sisters. There's a kind of looks and there is a kind of looks, and we all know what we mean. The way we look at each other as female to female is different, and once you turn to look at men, that look changes completely. And the school of social work, they define this type of looks. If you look at an opposite gender with malicious kind of looks or lustfully looks, these are Western people telling us, it is defined as harassment. You are harassing another person. And this is as deep that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a very open and clear verse in the Quran. I want you to check the paper that you are given. This is in Surah Nur. The first verse is number 30, but I couldn't get the copy for it. I'll just read it to you, which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. The first thing Allah is ordering men, that, O Prophet, tell the men that when they are out there, they should cast down their looks. Okay? And they should protect their private parts. Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَ لَهُمْ. This is better for them. This is preferable for them. It's just that in this verse, Allah tells women that this is preferable for them. This is what Allah wants them to do. Allah in this verse also tells a man that this is how Allah wants a man to be in the society. For those people who think that hijab is only for women, no, it's wrong. Hijab is for men as well. But there is a reason why Allah has commanded a woman to cover herself and a man to lower their gaze. Okay, I want you to ponder on this point, and then inshallah next time we'll talk about it. Then Allah says, "Inna Allaha khabirun bima yasnaun." Allah is aware of what you are even thinking. Allah is aware of what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're intending. Then soon after that is where this verse is coming. Verse number 31, where Allah is clearly talking to female now, the female gender. And he says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُذُّذْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ. That tell the Muslim, the believing women as well, to cast down their looks as well. So both genders are commanded. It is not only enough to cover yourself and then going around looking the way you want, you know, presenting yourself the way you want. There is a particular way that Allah wants a believing woman to go out there so that she would be respected in the society, so that the other gender would not look at her as a sexual object only. Okay? And when we look in our Sharia, when we look at our laws, we see that only the first look is okay. I presented about hijab one day, and a brother stood up and said to me, but Sister Latifa, we are allowed to look at a woman like one look. I said, just one look. Just that split of a second. If somebody is passing by and you're just looking at her, that's it. That is what you're allowed. But when you turn the second time to look, you should know that shaitan has already gone into you. And it happens so quickly. This process between the eyes that goes into our brain, that goes into our heart, it happens so quickly that you are not even aware of it yourself. And that is why Allah prohibited us to look at the second gender the second time. To look at the other gender, sorry, the second time. It is only the first time that is allowed. Then here Allah openly says to the women, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. And tell these women, do not display their ornaments except what appears therefore. The ornaments. And this is for the women who are the believing women, the women who cover themselves. Allah says that tells his prophet, that tell these women not to display their ornaments at the same time. We see sisters wearing hijab, their scarves are tied way up. It's like you're thinking they're choking themselves. And here they have the necklaces hanging. You know, and I'm thinking that if you're wearing hijab, wear it properly. You're doing it anyways. You know, do it the way Allah wants you to do. So Allah openly says that tell them not to hang these ornaments outside. Okay? Then here there is another point. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِ بِهِنَّ. That Allah says openly that tell them to cover their bosoms. Tell them to throw their veils over their bosoms. Look at that era of the society, of the time that we are living in. We find people, we find women are paying money, thousands and thousands, to go get their bosoms enlarged. Isn't it? But years ago, thousands of years ago, Allah had already commanded us to cover it. That is a very important part of our body, because from there is where we are feeding the children. And we have books written by our ulama that when you're feeding a child, it's not just that you're giving them a milk, but the children, your child, inherits a lot of things from that milk that you're drinking, that you're feeding. I was coming back from university once, and there were two guys in front of me and a girl, and they were also coming from university. And they were talking among themselves, and their conversation got me interested, so I got a little bit closer to them, becoming nosy, yes? And the girl was asking, they were talking about going to the discotheques and, you know, dancing and girls and all that. So the girl was asking these boys, she says that, what is the first thing you guys look at girls when you go, when the girls walk in? And this guy said, their bosoms. And you see, Allah, way from the beginning, says that tell them to cover themselves. So looks is something that we are told to definitely, definitely watch ourselves, how we look at a person. There are two kind of looks. There's a kind of look and there is a kind of look. And when we are looking at an opposite gender, we are supposed to look at straight. If you cannot look at him with straight looks, then lower your looks down. Okay? I have another example to share. It is something, and this is where Allah says that the private part of a woman is her entire body. This was something that I personally was finding it hard to believe, and I was saying that, how can my private part be my entire body? Until when Allah allowed me to meet this lady who had just converted to Islam. She was like telling us that before she was a Muslim, she used to go to the, you know, these places where people go and one person is singing and everybody else is dancing down there, right? And she got the opportunity to talk to the singer. So she asked the singer that, what is the first thing you look at a woman? When all these girls are throwing themselves at you, right? I'm sure in the non-Muslim world, you know, the girls are killing themselves, women are killing themselves to see the singer, and it's like pride for them. So the singer is telling her that, I look at their feet. I mean, listen to this very careful. He says, I look at their feet. And she says, why? He goes that, when I look at a woman's foot, I can tell how is her private part. Do you see the connection there? From the foot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells a Muslim woman that, cover yourselves. There is a reason of why we should wear socks outside. Again, it's a self-respect, my dear sisters. I have gone so deep into my studies about hijab. You know, and all the research that I have done is through the Western society, you know, by talking to them at different times, by using their research of what is the meaning of sexual harassment. And it all comes back to how you as a female gender carry yourself out there, how you cover yourself, how you behave when you are in front of an opposite gender. Then, number four, they describe, or they giving the definition of harassment as unnecessary physical contact, such as touching, petting, or pinching. Unnecessary physical contact. You know, just pay attention to the word unnecessary. There's a time, there's necessity. Heavens forbid you got sick. You fell down somewhere. Ambulance people come. They're all men, right? There is a case, there is an issue of life and death there, right? That is okay. But when there is no necessity, then there is no need for a man gender to touch a female gender. One of my grade 11 girls was telling me this story. She says that there was this Muslim boy, this is grade 11 we're talking about. There's this Muslim boy who was teasing the Muslim girls, okay? He would always pinch them, like pet them, joke with them. And then one day this girl said to her that, said to him that, how come you never pinch or touch Zainab? And Zainab is the one who is fully covered, right? She has, her hijab is beautiful, mashallah. So this Muslim guy answers them, because Zainab is all covered. Because Zainab is all covered. So boys themselves know what type of woman they can play with, what type of a girl they can pinch, what type of a girl they can tease, but what type of girl they cannot even get closer to. And it all depends upon how you have, how well you have covered yourself, how you present yourself in front of them, how you carry yourself in front of them. I see a question there.
I feel that here we're covered up, but still people look at us, people like touch us, or, you know, unwantedly, even if we're, you know, all covered up and stuff. I don't know. Do you have an answer for this?
See, I said that Western influence is everywhere, right? You can be here and yes, they can look at you differently. But if you have covered yourself, then even if they look at you, there's nothing of you that they can see. Then that is their own disease. But you have already done what Allah wanted you to do. Okay? Just allow me to finish one more point and then I'll give you time to... And the fifth definition they give is the demands for sexual favors. And this we see a lot in the working places. If a secretary or if a female worker wants to get ahead, and the supervisor or the boss is a man, you know, it could be as simple as getting a letter of recommendation. They can put it in such a professional way, not necessarily coming out so openly and say that, you know, you have to do this and this. But most of the time, these harassments are put such in a professional way that you may not even see it as harassment right away, if you're not alert of it. Okay? So these are the five definitions that the School of Social Work and psychologists and the nurses are giving. Again, I will emphasize that please be careful how you carry yourself when you are out there in the society, how you dress yourself, okay? How your tone of voice, your kind of look when you're looking to the at the opposite gender. I will stop here and I allow you 5 minutes for question and answer. And I see Sister Sophia had a... Mashallah. Shoot one at a time.
I would say that the most attractive part of you is your face as well. So I'm confused about... Because I've heard people say that... Some people think that the niqab and covering your face... I don't think they think it's wajib, but they'd first do that in covering the face. I think some people think that it's wrong to cover your face. And linked in with that, when you're talking about hijab and covering up and in the Western world, but I've heard people say that men find that more of a challenge, and also they find it mysterious, you know, because it's focusing on, it focuses on your eyes or that sort of thing, so.
I will go with niqab first. Niqab is not wajib, and Allah openly says, like shows us in the Quran, that it is on the face, it can be out, like seen, and this part of the hands, okay? So those who are covering their faces completely, they're using it as ihtiyat, as a precautionary, you know, to cover themselves. When you're saying that in the Western world they find our eyes to be more attractive, that's when they will look at us even more. Again, it is how you look at an opposite gender. You know, how would an opposite gender see your eyes if you do not turn to look at them to begin with? How would they find your eyes to be attractive if you would not turn and make your eyes attractive
Your beauty is in your face, though.
Not necessarily. Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. Right? If you beautify yourself and go outside, even in hijab, and I see a lot of sisters doing that, they would be covering so nicely, yet fully makeup, and lenses, and the way they cover, the way they carry themselves. I can't do all the actions here because I've got men around. Okay? But otherwise I would have really shown you the picture. How these girls carry themselves, you know? I mean, even you as a woman, sometimes you get disgusted. Like, let alone men. So yes, I agree with you that there are Westerners who would find you in hijab to be attractive. But again, it depends how you have carried yourself in front of them.
Okay, I don't think that point is... Basically, I agree that beauty is in your face, but I know that it's wajib to wear hijab, so that's, you know, even if I don't understand the reasoning completely behind hijab, okay, it's wajib to wear hijab. But if somebody says to me then, a Westerner says to me, okay, why do you wear hijab, and you say to cover up your beauty, I want a good reply for why do you wear hijab, because you gave the diamond thing, but then you gave the contrary argument to that. And so if I would say to cover yourself, and then you get the reply, oh, but your beauty is in your face, so can you give me like a good...
Your beauty is in your face if you have beautified your face more than what Allah has given you. You know, very few women nowadays go outside without makeup. And what is makeup? The name itself is a make-up, right? Actually, psychologically, it is proven that women who use makeup, it is because their esteem is very low. They're not satisfied with whatever they have. So as a result, they find the need to add the beauty, you know. And of course, these are the things that you would not be told, because the society, the market out there, every day you have new kind of makeup coming out, you know, so that you as a woman would go and buy it, and their market is just keeping on running out of your money, right, and out of your respect. So women will not accept to this kind of reality, to this kind of points. Because they are growing up like that. Their esteem is already broken to begin with. They feel that I am not good enough without wearing makeup in the society. You know, I have to have lipstick on. I said it as lipstick so many times that I want to say it the same way. You know, we feel like I cannot go, I'm not good enough without powder. I'm not good enough without having, all these things. Yet no, Allah has created each and every single one of us to have our own beauty. And beauty is not the eyes, or is not only the face. Beauty is your value. What kind of values you have. You know, you could have the most valuable, or what you call skills and values in you, but yet if your character stinks, it doesn't mean anything. Okay? So I hope I have answered your question. And you had the third question.
Sorry, I'm going to keep on about that one. If somebody says to you, why do you wear hijab? Yeah, and short and sweet answer.
Short and sweet?
Yeah.
I would say yes. Please.
Whenever anyone looks at you, whether you wear hijab or not, they judge you by your clothes and the way that they look, and they form impressions of you. What I say is that I wish to be judged by who I am, not the way that I look.
Mm-hmm.
So I remove that element in the way that I present myself, and therefore all that I can be judged by is who I am, and therefore they have to listen to me and value me through my conversation and my behavior and my etiquette. So it's basically that. Judge me by who I am, not the way that I look.
Thank you. And judging you by who you are, those are your values. But only if they can see values. You see, the society is not trained to look at a woman by her values. The society is already trained to look at a woman just as a sexual object. And we women have accepted that very, very easily without even thinking. You know, without even thinking, we have accepted that. We feel like I'm not good enough to go out there without having makeup on. I'm not good enough to go out there without without a lipstick on. I'm not good enough to go out there in the society without having colored eyelids, you know. And whatever comes as a fashion, I have to have it on. We do not even think twice that the society has made me to be their object. Okay? So as a result, in an indirectly way, we have made ourselves to be like that. And as a result, now society would not look at the values of a woman anymore. They would look at how she looks like. And it seems like the more naked you go out today, the more advanced you are. That is how the society has made it to be. You know, they think that an educated woman has to be as naked as they want you to be. You know, they think that an advanced woman has to be as naked as they want you to be. And we women have accepted these things very easily, without even thinking. You know, but it's about time we Muslim women start to look at our values, the values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. My time is up. I would like to stop here because we all need a 15 minutes break before the second speaker comes. وآخر دعوانا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله طاهرين.